say Johnson's all interested in domestic affairs. Well, I'm interested in doing what you told me to. You told me to bust $100 billion, the budget, and I have done it, and I'm patrolling it every day. And on yesterday, I got a report that they all had the ceiling and they couldn't go above the jobs provided in the budget, so I made them file me a new report on how many jobs they can get by with now, and they're 5,500 under the budget figures. And I've got another report coming in April, and they can under no circumstances employ anybody above the ceiling except with presidential approval. So we are being a little frugal, and you can be liberal without being wasteful. Paul Douglas shows us that, Proxmire and Walker Stone, Frank Dobie. So that's the policy I'm following, and I don't claim to be a great liberal, but I do claim that you can do a little something for people if you stop enough of this goddamn military waste and other waste. And we got no nuclear WPAs operating. I called Dick Russell and told him we had to cut down a reactor at Savannah. He said, I'm surprised it hadn't been cut down before. You can't quote me. My people raise hell. You lose 300 jobs, but you've got them running out of your ears, and there's no reason why the taxpayers ought to be clipped to make stuff you don't have to have. And I'm surprised it hadn't been made before, and I didn't think anybody had guts enough to do it, but I'm glad we got a president to have. So I called John McClellan, told him I had to cut down on his public works project. Why? And he said he'd go along with me. Called Bill Fulbright and Wilbur Mills and told them the same thing, and every one of them agreed that if I was really serious about economy, by God, they'd take their part of it. So I just thought you'd be interested in that because you're the only voice of economy that I've heard in the three papers in this town in the last 25 years. You might tell your editorial writer that this is, we mean serious business now.
Okay, we back you on that. And what can we do to strengthen Tom Mann's hand?
I think commend him on position of this goddamn New York Times and Washington Post scares everybody to death and scares all the liberals on foreign relations and Morris. And I think you can run these little short editorials and saying that Mann has handled this thing wonderfully. He has said that he's willing to meet with him anywhere, anytime, discuss anything, even the subjects in the treaty, but he hasn't agreed to, with violence and a pistol to his head, to revise them ahead of time and give away our rights, that we have hemispheric obligations and we got to live up to them, and that he's shown he's a strong man, he's shown he's an able man, and this administration's shown that they think of America as well as the rest of the world. And just a few little pats like that kind of has an influence on these other folks. They like to start out. Now, I'll give you an illustration. The State Department got overridden on something. So they go out and leak a story and say Johnson's not interested in foreign affairs and he doesn't get the stuff till too late and he was talking to a crony and he didn't get a message on Vietnam. Well, the moment we heard about Vietnam, they called me and I knew about it in 30 seconds. But when you don't do something they like over there, they leak to the papers and try to regiment you and whip the president. And they're not going to whip this one. They may defeat him, but they ain't going to whip him.
Mr. President, I suppose you know that, that Schlesinger and Dungan both have been trying to undercut Mann, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, okay. Sir. Yes, sir. I didn't know Dungan had, but I knew that Schlesinger had. Dungan wanted to go as Mann's assistant. I wouldn't let him. But I didn't know he'd been undercutting him, but I knew Schlesinger's been doing it ever since he came in, and that's why I accepted his resignation the minute it hit my desk.
I like the wording of your acceptance. I trust that's true.
But I'll tell you this, what you do need to do, I do need a voice in this town to help a little bit. When the Times moves in and the Post moves in and the Congress is reading it, to come along the other side. Now, they've been running foreign policy as long as they ought to be running it. And Cuba's a good example of their foreign policy. And I just think it, you ought to say, I'm meeting with all the Latin American financial group today, David Rockefeller's group. I'm meeting with them 4:30. It's a good kickoff to say it. We're meeting with private capital there. We want to do it both ways. But they're trying to make me have an aid program. I'm going to listen to all the bellyachers on aid. I'm going to have Allen Ellender, and I'm going to have Otto Passman. I'm having Wayne Morris down to tell the aid administrators to their face what they know is wrong with aid. And I'm going to listen to it for the first time any president's ever heard it. But they have had me already resolving this thing 10 times in the New York Times and the Washington Post and say now that Johnson has finally determined that the aid program is going to be the same when I haven't sent an aid message and I haven't determined anything. But that's the way they do you. And you call up, then you're sensitive. And if they repeat it 7 times, then it becomes fact. And we don't know what our aid program is going to be. I do know this, that we're going to quit reacting to actions.
Okay, unless any time you see I hadn't set up backfire, let me
know. Well, you can just set up one right now in Latin America and just say that this thing's been handled right and that good thing that we didn't go in and take over all Cyprus by ourselves and other people have got to go with us, that we're not the only ones in the world that want peace. And Indonesia, we don't know what'll happen there, but it's a damn good thing we didn't certify his aid. We haven't given him his money. We told him to sit down at the press conference. I sit down at the table and have a conference and try to work this thing out at the table instead of the jungle. And it looks like things are going pretty well. But these State Department boys, they tell you what they do. The underlings, if you don't do exactly what they want you to do, which is to give America away at every chance, then they start disciplining you. Somebody told me Time Magazine is going to run a story next week saying that John Smith has no knowledge of foreign affairs and not spend any time on it, and all his time is spent on a serious, crazy thing like the budget. I've been here till 2 o'clock in the morning on Panama. I've met nearly every night. I've had 188 conversations, 117 meetings, and been here 60 days. But they don't know a damn one of it, but that's the Secret Service record. And no president spent more time on it than I have or worked longer. But they give you hell and say your health's going to break down in one breath, and next time you haven't paid any attention to it. But you just take on this Al Friendly for me and not get personal, but just put up the other side of the coin, and I'll have folks like Dick Russell that give me hell in the Herald Tribune this morning. Said I had to rely on my cronies in Congress. Well, I do talk to a few of them. Dick Russell's been head of the CIA and Armed Services a long time, and he's a pretty sound and able man. And I talked to a few of them up there, and they don't believe in our just running every time somebody hollers scat.
Good.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, thank you.